I just got two verses for a text today. You can turn to Jeremiah chapter 31 while I put the mic on. Interesting thought. Jeremiah 31:12. I'll just read it to you, and you read along with me. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat, and for wine, and for oil, and for the young of the flock and of the herd. And their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. I want you to notice the thought there. Their soul shall be as a watered garden. Now look at Isaiah. Isaiah 58:11. Isaiah 58:11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. Let's pray. Lord, we love your word, and you have some beautiful pictures in your word. Give us wisdom today to see into this and the blessing that's there. I ask you, Lord, that you touch each heart and life that's here today, if anybody that's lost, that they'll desire to come to you and be saved. And every Christian, through whatever trials and troubles they've come through, will go to you. Lord, we want to be closer to you. We want to be your children. We want to be a good example. We want to be able to preach your word and give a witness that you are a great God and worthy to be praised. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Ever thought about that? Your soul. What is your soul like? Like a watered garden. That's an amazing, that's a beautiful picture, actually. I don't know if you've ever planted many gardens. I have. And back in the early days when we were first married, well, I'd dig the garden up and pull out all the trash and burn it, and then we'd plant it, and Berlin would take care of it. And then when I moved out in the country, I built me a garden that was 60 foot by 60 foot square. 8-foot fence to keep the deer out. Couldn't keep the birds out. They would get me all the time. But you know something? Gardening is a lot of work. Now, it's a beautiful thing. I bought a new trailer when I was in the Air Force in Roswell, New Mexico. And when I got out of the Air Force, I was going to college. And so I took that trailer and moved it to Brownwood, Texas, where Howard Payne University was. And they moved it into a trailer park. Well, I lived in it what little time, but I started right away driving the roads out to the little towns out around Brownwood. And I found a little town about 15 miles out called Blanket, Texas. Blanket. Had about 350 people in it. And I was looking for a place to park my trailer. And so I drove down Blanket Street, Main Street, and here was two 50 by 150-foot lots. It was fenced and all. One of them is where the house had been. This old man who shoes horses? Yeah, farrier, but you're blacksmith. But thank you, you're right. You're more correct than I am, because you know more about horses than I do. Anyway, there was this man, and his wife, he was probably close to my age. And his wife had gotten very sickly, and she was in a nursing home. And when she went to the nursing home, this old man quit working. They moved in, and both of them lived in one room of a nursing home, he and his wife. Now, he was fairly healthy. I rented these two lots from him because I had a septic tank. I had a well with water. I had all sorts of things, and even had an underground place to to store his garden stuff like that. Sorry, this dementia is getting to me. I can't talk on certain words that I want to say. Anyway, it was a perfect setup for me, and I stayed there all the way through college. He had this one lot where I put my trailer, but he had another lot. It was fenced off too, and that was his garden. You know what he told me? He said, I work as a, just working in metal and whatever, you know, all day long, and it was hot, and I was working like that. And he said, when I got home, it was a real comfort to me to get on my knees and crawl through my garden, breaking up clods of dirt, pulling weeds out, and cleaning that garden up. It was a nice garden spot. You ever thought about that? A well-watered garden. What did he say? Make fat thy bones. I guess I serve in that area. Satisfy thy soul in drought, make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. I've lived a lot of times in the desert. And the desert, if you're driving through it, you think, man, what in the world? What could you do with this land besides let cattle and goats roam over it and feed a little bit? But, you know, I had a cousin. I was in the Air Force. They stationed me at a SAC base, Strategic Air Command, in Roswell, New Mexico. And I spent my entire time in the Air Force there except for a little while in Alaska. Well, I had a cousin. Now, he was old enough to be my daddy. He was 26 years older than me, but he was my first cousin. And he lived in Artesia, New Mexico, and I was in Roswell. So we took the boys, just had Eddie and Billy at that time, little old bitty squirts. We took the boys down to my cousin's farm. Now, as we're driving down, and if you've been through the desert and whatever, you see these humps of land, and they got cactus on them, and they got little brown trees, and they have trees that are about this high. You know, scrawny little old things. And you think, what in the world could you do with this? Well, he lived in Artesia, New Mexico. You know what Artesia stands for? Artesian wells. They had wells. I don't know how deep they went for them. But they had wells, and he had one on his place. He had a big farm. Good night. And it was sandy land. But he had it all smooth and gone, you know, and he could take the water. He had an artesian well that was about that big around, and it just flowed all the time. He had a cutoff on it that he could stop it from flowing. He also had a diesel engine about as big as you could put in the back of a pickup truck. It was pretty high. Pretty wide. And I'm telling you, that diesel engine would flow that water big time. You ought to have seen this farm. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. You didn't have all those humps, and it didn't look like desert. It was sandy land, but it was all plowed upright, you know, and he could run the water to it, and he made great crops. You know what you need? You just need the water. It's got the sun. It's got the heat. It's got everything. It just needed water. Now, when Jefferson bought from Napoleon the Louisiana Purchase, there were plenty of people in Washington. What in the world are we spending money? That's a desert. Nothing can grow there. Anything can grow there if you can put water to it. It's rich, rich, rich soil. I enjoyed gardening. But you know, there's one thing about gardening. Where your plant's growing has got a bunch of other seeds in that ground. Yeah. And when you put the water to it, the weeds grow. So you're not only putting the water to it, you're growing the plants that you want to grow, but you're growing the weeds at the same time. Now, what are you going to do about those weeds? Well, this old man said it was a comfort to him after working all day with fire and metal and stuff like that and hard work. They didn't have television back in those days. We didn't get one until I was 16, so he was a poor fellow living on a, you know, just working his living, hard working. He said he'd get home, and it was a comfort to him. After he'd eaten supper, he'd go out there, and he'd put on his knees and go through that garden, pulling weeds and breaking clods of dirt. Have you ever seen a hoe? You know, a hoe generally comes out about so big, 5-6 inches, by about a foot. Have you ever seen a hoe that had been whittled down to about 2 inches? You know how that works? You're sharpening it. What are you doing sharpening a hoe? You might even bend it back a little bit, depending on how tall you are, you know. And you might take that one instead of straight over like that and bend it back forward like this. So you can just reach up and sort of go through the weeds. And it cuts down just about a half an inch or a quarter of an inch of dirt. And you cut the weeds off and then you pick them up. Beautiful gardens. I've seen some beautiful gardens. I really enjoy it. How about your soul? Now this is a type. These two verses, Jeremiah says, their soul shall be as a watered garden and they shall not sorrow anymore at all. Isaiah says, thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. That's an interesting thing. Now, a lot of people make types, and I don't ever make doctrine from types. Only illustrations. But you know, this is a type right out of the Bible. This comes out of Jeremiah and Isaiah. Now, I would say that's a legitimate type. A real beautiful, well-watered garden that has been taken care of and worked over regularly and brings forth good fruit is the way your soul could be. I think that's pretty interesting to me. What kind of a soul do you have and what kind of soul do you want? And you know who the soul is, that's you. You're their soul. What comes out of you? You're individual. You're special. That's where you communicate with God. You talk to Him through your soul. That's the way He deals with you and the way you are. And a whole lot of things about you are determined by the condition of your soul and the way you think. You know, I really had a good time. I planted a garden in that place, 150 foot by 50 foot. And I had it going up. I was out there weeding and I was out there watering and whatever. And they were just about ready. The garden just is coming up beautiful. And God gave me a beautiful hailstorm. Knocked it all down to the ground. Put dents in my new trailer house. It had dents all over it. You know something? Everything doesn't work out well, does it? You can have troubles. Do you know what you're going to have in life? Troubles. If you're 82 years old or 87 years old, 88, you're still going to have troubles. You know, what are you like inside? People respond to you. They feel you. They sense you. They listen to you. And by the way, Brian, well, I don't know where you are, but this is what you do, you know. No problem at all. I mean, any good preacher would have a piece of paper and a pen to write on. I don't remember it, Brian, but it's a good joke. I loved it. What's your soul like today? Is it like a desert? Like a desert with brush and things that you don't want? Or is it like a well-watered garden? You can walk in and you can tell whether that guy's a lazy bum or whether they have any interest in the garden or whether what. You take a look at that garden and you know what they'll tell you? Tell you a whole lot about the people that are doing it. I've seen a lot of sorry, ugly gardens. But I've seen some beautiful gardens, some beautiful plowing. Used to be some Belgian farmers. I don't know if they're still there, but when you go out Pearsall Road and you went across that railroad bridge, you could just look at beautiful fields, just absolutely beautiful fields. Those were working men. They took care of that thing, and it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to see. What do you want your soul to be like?
Amen.
Do you want your soul to be beautiful for God to see, beautiful for your family to see, your children to see, beautiful as a testimony to God Almighty that He's blessed your soul and He's filling you with springs of water?
Amen.
Wow. That to me is a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. Now there's a problem. You got a weed.
Yeah, right.
You can't just plant. You can't just plant in water. Because the weeds will grow faster than your plant. And they will take all the resources out of the soil that you want to have your plants have. And therefore, you won't really get a good garden if you don't go out there and weed it. Maybe one at a time. Maybe like that old man, crawling through, enjoying the garden, and crawling through and crumbling up all of that hard dirt with his hands, and pulling the weeds out so that the resources in the soil will go into the vegetables that he wants to grow. Soul is a watered garden. I just thought it was a tremendous thing. Now, I'm going to give you a hint. You got to be right with God.
Amen.
You got to be right with God. You can't play with God. You can ignore your garden, and you know what? It'll show. You don't weed it. You don't water it. I tell you what, people will know you don't have much of a garden. Sort of like Brian and I went visiting. He was a young preacher, and he was looking to get some instruction on how to do visiting and whatever. This guy called me up and said he needed milk for his baby. Brian and I went out there. 10 o'clock in the morning, this guy's in his pajamas on his couch. I said, I'm not buying you milk for your baby. You need to get off your couch, get you a rake, and go rake somebody's leaves, and I would not have my babies needing milk while I'm laying around on the couch and not willing to do anything. Brian sort of thought that was funny. He didn't expect the preacher was going to go out there and say something like that, but it's worthwhile. Truth is, if you're too lazy about your soul, it's going to show. If you don't weed the things that come into you from television and radio and friends and family and your own lusts, it's going to show. Some of you do not have a good spiritual life on the inside because you don't weed.
Amen.
You need to weed. If you can do it with a hoe, fine. Take you a file and file it down real sharp where it'll cut through real clean. Bend it a little bit. If it has to be bent a little bit just for your height or whatever, to where you can come up there and cut the weeds down. And we're talking about your soul. What goes into your mind? What goes into your heart? What you show other people? What do they think of you? Do you cuss all the time? Do you tell dirty jokes? Are you not faithful at church? Do you read your Bible? Do you don't read your Bible? You ever memorized any scripture? You know any scripture? Anything like that? Do you pray? There's some things that'll do your soul good. Prayer is one of them. What a privilege. We come out here Wednesday nights and we pray. I'm sure the prayers are not eloquent, but we pray. We're sincere. We pray. And you know, you need to pray.
Amen.
And to think of it, what a privilege. You were calling up Brother Bush. Maybe he's a brother. No. Trump, I'm sorry. Wrong president. You wanted to go see Mr. Trump. Well, you couldn't see him. You can't even see a councilman here right here in town. You try to see the councilman, you'll get all of the people that work for him. You'll have a hard time getting to the fellow like that. But you can get to God.
Yes.
Isn't that an amazing thing? To me, the idea that He tells you to pray, that He will listen to your prayers, that he will answer your prayers and that he will give you wisdom, that's from God. That's a wonderful thing. Absolutely miraculous idea. I mean, this is a miracle. I can talk to God and God will listen to me. What have we got? 9 billion people on the earth today and about that many that have died since Adam? And God will listen to me? What could it do for your soul if you would go to God in thanksgiving and in prayer? Faith. It takes faith. But what could you do? You've got to be right with God. How can you be right with God? You are so weak. You lose your temper so often. You are disgusted with all sorts of things you have to do. And half the time you're thinking, God, why did you do this to me? The truth of the matter is, you're not looking at the reality of a God that would answer your prayer. You don't believe it. If you believe it, you'd do more of it. If you actually believe that God would listen to you, that he would comfort you, that he would answer your prayer and turn things around. And man, he's done it for me. And I'm just like you. We all have the same tendency. We'd rather watch television or read a book or something like that than read the Word or study the Word. We'd rather do a whole lots of things than testimony to testify to somebody that's lost or maybe even needs some help. There's some people that need help. They need some old man or some old woman to tell them what to do. Now, I know they don't want to hear it, and they may not do it, but they need to hear it. They need to have that spoken to them. What kind of soul do you have? Well, you got to be right with God. That's number one. You've got to be able to repent of your sins. I don't think we can expect much from God for our works. Do you? Do you think God owes you? I don't think God owes me anything. I don't think God owes you anything. And I think sometimes we think of it like God owes us. We've given him $5 once or twice. We've given him $100 or $1,000 or whatever. But you know something? You ought to go to God and say, Lord, forgive me where I failed you.
Amen.
Anybody here hadn't failed God? Every day.
Amen.
We're talking every day.
Amen.
What ought to be the beginning of our prayers is, God, forgive me.
Amen.
You say, well, I've confessed that two or three times before. Well, are you still doing it?
Yeah.
Well, then you need to confess it again.
Amen.
Confess your sins unto the Lord and ask him to forgive you your sins. You know what he said? I will. I will. You confess your sins, I'll forgive them. No matter how many times. How many? He tells you to forgive your brother 77 times. 777. Wow. We have to keep forgiving each other because we keep messing up. Our lives are not all lived holy and whatever. We need to live a life of confession. We need to be honest with ourselves and we need to confess our sins. So you don't have to confess them to me or to anybody else, but you need to confess them to the Lord. I've let you down, Lord. I wish I was a better example of what you've done. You've given me so much. How much has he given you? Have you thought, do you feel like he's given you a lot? I know people that are mad at God because they didn't get a particular answer about something like that. What about you? Man, God's given me so much more than I ever gave to him. He's given me so much love, and I admit I love this world. I love myself. I love my kids. I love my toys. Yeah. We don't pay God back. We don't really give him the honor that he deserves. We don't give him the thanksgiving that he deserves.
Amen.
And how are you going to be right with God if you don't confess your sin?
Amen.
How can you be? You know you still fail God every day.
Amen.
Okay? To have a good, clean relationship, you need to go to God in prayer and ask him to forgive you. Confess what you do. Recognize what you do. You've got to be right with God. If you're not right with God, you're not going to have a soul like a watered garden. Isn't it amazing what water will do? It's amazing how these things grow and how many weeds there are. There are a whole lot more weeds than there are plants in your garden. And they grow faster and better. It's an amazing thing. But that's the truth. And you have to keep working on them. You say, well, I'm tired of working on them. Well, that's all right. I understand that. But that doesn't mean you need to stop. That just means you need to get on the ball. Get your mind right. Get your attitude right. You want a soul that's like a well-watered garden. That's just a beautiful picture to me. Now look at Proverbs 4, verse 23. Proverbs 4, 23. Here's Solomon. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence. Issues of life. What are the issues of life? Happiness, success, pleasure, victory. We've got a lot of failings. You ever tried to just quit one thing? Just tried to quit one thing. Maybe cigarettes. Maybe gambling. Maybe drinking. Maybe gossiping. Maybe with a bad attitude. Just to get a better attitude. Not to lose your temper so much. You ever tried to do something like that? If you're really concentrated on it, you're going to find how big a failure you are. It's sure hard to bypass some of these things. Judgment. I'm right and everybody else is wrong. Well, they have that opinion of me. Well, so what?
Yeah.
Keep thy heart. What you ought to be doing to be right with God, to have your soul in communion with God, being blessed by God, is keep your heart with all diligence. All your future. Everything that's going to happen to you depends on your level of confidence, your level of faith, your level of cooperation with the God that's in your heart. He's speaking to you all the time. Sometimes you don't like to listen to him, but he is speaking to you all the time. In your own mind, and you know what? Your heart's a beautiful thing. It really is. What we do need, we need to watch that we don't let the weeds get in and take over. And there's a lot more weeds, just like in your heart, just like there are in your garden. There's a lot more weeds than plants. Second thing I would say, Jesus must be Lord.
Amen.
Jesus must be Lord. Not your wife, not your husband. Not your kids.
Amen.
Not even your church and denomination. Not even your pastor. No. Jesus must be Lord. And an awful lot of us have a controversy with God on this. We'll read something in the Bible and say, I don't like that. I don't want to do that. I even heard that Baptists of Texas voted that women didn't have to obey their husbands. You think you can vote God's laws out? That's an amazing thing to me. That anybody would even propose a vote on it. Well, ladies, let me tell you something. You might please yourself, but it might not please God. Do you ever think about that? Think about all of these women that are professional, and many of you are professional women. I understand that. I'm proud of you. I'm glad you've got the opportunity. Just like a slave, if you get an opportunity, use it. If you get a chance to be free, use it. But you know something? God Almighty wants obedience. And He's given us a book to tell us what He'd like for us to do. And I think we ought to be sure in our own heart that Jesus is the Lord.
Yes.
And what He says should be obeyed. It says in Philippians 2:9, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow." You're going to bow both knees. "Of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father."
Amen.
Then in Colossians 3:17 it says, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father for it." No church, no denomination, no name, no man can take Jesus' place. You don't have a higher authority than the Bible you've got in your hand.
That's right.
And what it says, by the way, is written in one and two syllable words mostly. Don't tell me you don't understand it. You don't like it. You don't like something. It's not you don't understand what would please God. Whatsoever you do. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. If not, you're going to find your soul in a thirsty land where no water is. You ever been thirsty? You ever been thirsty? You understand it? Wow, the need we have for water. Nothing else will satisfy you when you get down thirsty. Beer won't do it. Liquor won't do it. Water. Water of life. Bless your hearts. How about being a thirsty soul where no water is? I like the idea of being a well-watered garden, a well-watered soul, springing up with joy and peace and victory and challenge. You got a future. Trouble, sorrow, pain, disease, opposition. Unfaithful brethren, dry, weary days, they're coming. How are you going to handle them? Well, it depends on your soul. It depends on your relationship with God. Is God supplying you the water of life? Is God richly blessing you in your soul, that your soul would be like the one that Isaiah and Jeremiah were talking about? Like a well-watered garden. Like putting that artesian well out to the deserts of New Mexico. And wow, what a sight. Amazing thing. You can be a well-watered garden in the midst of a dry and thirsty land. Let me say one other thing. As I thought about this, you must live by faith. You can't live by sight. You can't live by sight, and you can't live by feelings. You can't live by a lot of the policies that the world has. You can't live with the ideas of many of the young people of the world today and some of the old people. You can't do it. You got to be by faith. And faith in what? Faith in God, faith in His Word. But you live by faith. Now, Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You have to walk by faith. That means when you don't see things happening to you, you got to believe anyway. That means when I don't see how in the world I can do it, I have to act on it anyway. What did Abraham do? God said, I want you to leave. Leave your family. He did it. He went out not knowing where he was going. Amazing faith. With a lot of different things that we've got to face, we still have the scriptures right here that says God thinks this way. Look how God thought in the day of Isaiah. Look how God thinks in the day of Matthew. Look how God thinks in the day of Paul. He still thinks the same way. God is not changeable. So what you need is faith. Now, that's not what you can see. Doesn't mean you're going to be successful or popular. Faith is almost never convenient. What is faith? It's a real simple answer to what is faith. It's standing on the Word of God. Take a verse. That's how I did with Christianity. I read in the Bible, he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I looked at that. Is it true? Well, I believed it. I called on the Lord and I got saved. It's a simple thing. God will hear and answer your prayer. It says it right in the book. Time and time and time again. I can put my finger on it and say, He will hear and answer my prayer. Then what I need to do? Pray. And then trust Him to answer. What if He doesn't give me the answer I want? My daddy didn't always give me the answer I wanted. My mama didn't, and my wife didn't. My kids certainly haven't. Why should I expect God to answer everything? Sometimes, bless your hearts, He says no. Now, you can get mad at Him and quit on Him if you want to because He said no. But you didn't do that when your parents said no or when your husband said no or your wife said no or your mother or father said no. You paid attention. You still loved them. You knew they might have had a different opinion. God's got a different opinion than you. Did you ever think about that? Can you read the Bible and think that your opinion's the same as God? No, no. And we're not going to change the Bible to get your opinion. You live by faith. You take God at His Word and you stand on it. And sometimes you pray. Sometimes you give, even when you don't think you got the money to give. Some of you young missionaries that went out of this church and went for several years or a long time preaching the gospel somewhere, you by faith said go. And you went. Some of you stayed. I believe God's called me to be right here. This is what I'm supposed to do. By faith you stayed. How about bearing fruit? How about standing alone? Sometimes you got to just stand alone. How about victory? Do you think you can please God any other way? By faith. Faith is the way. Faith's going to give you a victory. Faith is going to water your soul. Faith is going to bless you with happiness and joy and peace in the midst of trouble. I'm like Brian. I sure don't want Job's troubles. I sure hope God's not pointing me out to Satan. You see, God set that up. Wow. What a test. But I believe Job's been paid off a whole lot in heaven. I believe he's got a high standing, just like some of the other guys you read about in this Bible here. I'd like to give God some pleasure. Amen. I'd like to give God some pleasure. I would like for God to say, that is a well-watered garden. That is a child of mine that listens to me, obeys me. That's a somebody that can give thanks. That's somebody that can recognize when he's wrong. That's somebody that has a love of God in his heart and therefore has a love for the Word and has a love for his fellow man. I'd like a soul like a well-watered garden. I don't know what God may have spoken to your heart today. Let me tell you something. God still answers prayer. And there's one prayer He's promised to answer if we confess our sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Clean! Isn't that a beautiful thing? I love a bath. I really do. I get out and sweat and get out and get dirty, get muddy and whatever. I love a shower. I really don't love a bath that much. I love a shower. Oh, I'll let that shower run. I can waste money, a man with hot shower coming down, you know. Nice to be clean. It's nice to be clean spiritually, too. And you know the only way you can do it, you got to keep pulling up weeds. You got to keep watering that garden. You got to keep pulling those weeds. Those little things that we have to fight all the time. And do it with a good attitude. Have a good attitude. Why not live happy?
Amen.
Why not live by faith? Why not live by joy and peace and thanksgiving? Be a thankful person. Be a loving person.
Amen.
Be somebody that does love God and proves it by loving some of us. If you're here and you haven't been saved, let me tell you what, God will save your soul and change your life. All you got to do is believe Him. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Why don't you put your finger on that verse? Why don't you put the finger, God, You paid my debt.
Thank You, Lord.
You will give me eternal life. I can be born again of the Spirit of God. I can be a spiritual being and live forever with You. Wow. What God offers is out of this world.
Amen.
It is beautiful. It's worth having. If you're here and you're not saved, I invite you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to sing number 255. Let's stand. And if you have a burden, God's spoken to your heart, this altar is open.